Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us that great peace have those who love his law or his instructions, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into his instructions or for this week's Torah portion and see what we can gain, the wisdom that we can see in his word that we can hide within our hearts, so that we can walk in his ways and we can be as one who builds his house upon a rock, as Yeshua said, and nothing will cause us to stumble. So in this week's Torah portion, we are talking about, this is the portion where they're dealing with the laws or the instructions regarding the leper for the most part. So we're going to read a passage here regarding the instructions about leprosy. And I kind of wanted to talk about leprosy and how it would spread throughout the body. You know, leprosy was a very contagious disease, which was why they were to separate themselves from the camp. And what we can learn about that in regards to how sin can do the same thing with inside of us, in our hearts and inside of our soul, if we allow that which is unclean. Remember, sin is that which is unclean. Sin makes us unclean, and how it is something that can spread throughout us if we do not check sin within ourselves and allow it to just have its way, which is what leprosy would do within the body. Once a man had leprosy or a woman had leprosy, that leprosy would spread throughout their body and pretty much took over their body until they died. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 7. But if the eruption spreads in the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest, and the priest shall look, and if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease. When a man is afflicted with leprous disease, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall look, and if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and there is a raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic leprous disease in the skin of his body, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall shut him up, for he is unclean. And if the leprous disease breaks out in the skin, so that the leprous disease covers all the skin of the diseased person from head to foot, so far as a priest can see, then the priest shall look, and if the leprous disease has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean of the disease. It has all turned white, and he is clean. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. Raw flesh is unclean, for it is a leprous disease. But if the raw flesh recovers and turns white again, he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. And if the disease has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce the diseased person clean. He is clean. So we see here in this passage, the main thing that you're really looking for, the priest was looking for, was whether or not the skin was raw. If the skin was raw, then the person was deemed unclean. They had the leprous disease. And upon being declared unclean, that person was no longer allowed to live inside of the community, inside the city. They were cast out of the camp, outside the city. So they were basically cast out to live on their own in isolation, to where they would ultimately pretty much just succumb to the disease and die. And they would live a very lonely life. They were to walk around, and if they came across any person while outside the city or camp, they were to cover their mouths and proclaim that they were unclean. So they were in a state where they were separated from the rest of the camp or the people. So as I kind of talked about, you know, leprosy kind of speaks of and shows us, as we read through the instructions and we see about the disease, it is a physical condition which speaks of the spiritual condition of the person who is living in sin. Sin separates us from the presence of God. Sin, if not controlled, will take over our bodies and spread, just as leprosy. If leprosy started in one part of the body, if it started on a person's hand, that leprosy would spread across the body until it got to the point where that person would be covered from head to toe with the leprosy. Sin will do the same thing if we do not learn how to master sin in our lives. The person who had leprosy was at the mercy of God in order to obtain healing of their leprosy. Yeshua came and healed the lepers. Yeshua came and died upon the cross. His blood was shed for us, and by his blood we are forgiven and cleansed of our sin. Dealing with that uncleanness that's inside of us that caused us to be separated from God. He draws us back unto God, where we can come back into that presence with God. Now, before, as we read through the Torah, we see the fact that God did give them the sacrifices that they could do to atone for their sin, to cover their sin so they could dwell and have communion with him and be in his presence. But those sacrifices ultimately were pointing to the very thing that Yeshua would do for us. Okay, so let's go ahead and look at Romans chapter 7 and verse 7 as we talk about this nature of sin inside of us and how we need to be able to learn how to control that sin, master sin in our lives. So Romans chapter 7 and verse 7, what then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. So let's go ahead and pause here for a moment. Here, Paul makes it clear that he is not calling the law sin. He is not calling the law a heavy burden, a bad thing, as some in religion would want to make Paul out to say. Paul here is saying, is the law sin? No. Is a commandment sin? No. John would say, what is sin? He defines sin as what? The breaking of the commandments, the breaking of his instructions. That is what sin is. So the law itself is not sin. That's why Paul is able to say, had it not been for the law, I would not have known sin. Meaning, if there was not the law, if there was not this standard on how I'm to love God, how I'm to worship him in set apartness in a way that is pleasing unto him, in a way that produces a sweet smelling aroma unto him, and if he had not given us a standard on how to love one another, how to love our brothers, then we would just be going about doing it how we want to do it. We would love each other according to what is right in our own eyes, according to what feels good to us. We would worship him in a manner that is right in our own eyes and what feels good unto us. See, when we worship him in a manner that is good unto us and not according to his purpose, when we do it according to what is right in our own eyes, we actually do the opposite of setting him apart. We actually begin to worship him as that which is common, or we worship him as the nations would worship their gods. We do not set him apart in that manner. And the same when it comes to loving people. When we love people upon our terms and our ways, then we are not setting him apart. We're not showing him as being set apart, and we are not being set apart from the world. When we follow his instructions, when we follow his word, and we learn how to master sin in our lives, we become set apart from the world. People see the good that we are doing, the good works that we're doing, and then they praise our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. We become salt unto the world, and we become light unto the world. We obtain that by being obedient unto his word. Obedience to his word sets us apart. It does not justify us. Justification comes by faith alone in Yeshua. And we must possess that faith, that justification in Yeshua, in order to walk in obedience, in order to ever master sin in our lives, we first have to have that belief in Yeshua and have his spirit living inside of us. Without that, we can never master sin in our lives. Let's look at verse 8. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I once was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So what Paul is saying is sin seized an opportunity through the commandment. Or we could say our flesh. We are all born into sin. We're all born with this fleshly desire because sin entered the world when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And because of that, we have these sinful, lustful desires. There's this part of us that desires to rebel against God's word. So when we see his commandment, there is something in us that wants to rebel against his commandment. We desire to rebel against his righteousness. That is our flesh that is inside of us. So that sin, that flesh, looks for the opportunity to break his law. And that leads unto death. Okay, so that's what he's saying. The commandment which promised life. Because remember, the Torah, if you obey my commandments, you will have life. But if you disobey, then the curse follows or death follows. So the punishment of sin is death, which is why we needed Yeshua to come and die upon that tree for us, so that death would be broken off of our lives and we could have eternal life in and through him, to get rid of that sin, that curse. We were under the curse because we had broken the law. The curse wasn't the fact that we needed to follow the law. The curse was the fact that we had broken the law, and he has broken that curse off of our lives so that we can now live in him. When our sinful nature saw the commandment, it says sin came alive in me. The desire to want to do that which was wrong came alive in me. And it says it deceived me and killed me. Your flesh, the sinful nature, your heart, your sinful heart will deceive you. It will lead you astray if you are not careful. It's why we have to be careful with trying to follow our heart, trying to worship him in what seems right according to our hearts, loving people in what seems right according to our hearts, instead of following the righteous instructions he has given us. His commandments, his instructions, his Torah is the standard upon how we love people and how we love him. It's not left up to our heart. Because as you can see, our heart, that sinful fleshly desire, will deceive us. And it will look for reasons not to obey his commands or his instructions, and to make excuses for why we do not need to do it. Let's look at verse 12. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So here Paul is laying it out. The law, or you could say the Torah, is holy. That's what he says about the Torah, about the law. It is holy. It, the commandments, is holy, righteous, and good. It is set apart. It is what is righteous. It is good. So if I want to be set apart, if you want to be set apart, if you want to walk in righteousness, if you want to do that which is good, then you need to follow and be obedient to the law, to his commandments, to his Torah. It is the very thing that will set you apart and cause you to walk in his righteousness and do that which is good. And as I said before, when you do that, men and women will see your good works and praise your heavenly Father. But he speaks of the fact that the law is spiritual. That's what he says in verse 14. The law is spiritual, or the Torah is spiritual. He says, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin, meaning I am under the power of flesh. Or you could say he was underneath the power of the flesh, sold under sin. That's why Yeshua died on the cross as our Passover lamb. He got redemption. He bought our redemption from the evil one. We were sold under sin. We were under the power of sin. But by the death of Yeshua, no longer does sin have power over us. So we no longer have to be a slave unto our flesh, but we can now walk in that which is spiritual, which is the law or the Torah, being obedient unto it. So as we talked about how the leprosy would spread throughout the body to the one who is sold under sin, who is living according to his flesh, who has not mastered sin in his life, who gives in to every temptation that comes, or has certain temptations that just constantly are beating them down. The longer we continue to give in to these temptations, the longer that we continue to seek our own pleasures and we decide and choose not to master sin in our life, to have power over our sin, to walk in the redemption of Yeshua, to lay that down at his feet, to do that which is spiritual, to walk according to his word, we will continue to see sin increase in our lives. It will spread in our lives. If we do not learn how to kill sin in our lives, remember Yeshua said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. He's speaking of the seriousness that we need to have when it comes to getting rid of sin that is in our lives, because sin is a dangerous thing if we leave it unchecked. It will spread through the body and it will cause death unto us. So we need to seek to be cleansed, number one, first. Remember, we cannot master sin unless first we have been cleansed or justified by Yeshua. So when we put our faith in him, when we believe that he died upon that cross for us, that by his blood that was shed upon that cross, that there is a forgiveness of our sins, that all of our uncleanness has been dealt with, and that he is our redemption, that by what he did upon that cross, we no longer are underneath the power of sin. We're no longer obliged to give in to the sinful nature that is within us. We can then begin to learn what his commandments are, learn his law, learn his Torah, and begin to walk in it. Learn how to walk in it. Learn how to apply it unto our lives. Learning how to walk in set apartness. Learning how to walk in his righteousness and doing that which is good. That is what every believer should do. That is our walk. It is learning how to walk in his ways. It is a learning process. We will slip up. We will mess up. But he is faithful to forgive us. But to the one who outright rebels against his instructions and seeks and has no desire to walk in obedience to his instructions, that person is in danger of seeing sin spread through their life to the point where it has mastery over them and it will lead unto death. And Paul talks about in this state where he is of the flesh, so under sin, he goes, I do the things I do not want to do. That is what happens when we do not learn how to master sin in our lives. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. This begins to speak of the solution to the problem of sin in our lives and how we can begin to learn how to master sin in our lives. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Messiah Yeshua from the law of sin and death. So what was the answer to our sinful situation? It was Yeshua. So to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, to those who believe in Yeshua, to those who have made him Lord of their lives, which means that we serve him. So we believe in him, but now we serve him. We no longer serve sin, but we serve him. And as we go through this passage here, we're going to see what that means to serve him. But to that person who believes in him, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation for the times where we miss the mark. There is no condemnation for the times that we sinned and broke his commandments. He has forgiven us. Our sins are atoned for. It's covered by his blood. God no longer sees our sins. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. So the law of the Spirit, meaning the Spirit at work inside of us, because when we put our belief in Yeshua, he gives us his Spirit. He comes and he circumcises our hearts. He gets rid of this old, stony, hard, rebellious heart that desire to do its own thing and walk in its own ways. And he replaces it with a heart that is soft and tender and has a desire to walk in his ways. He puts his Spirit inside of us and causes us to walk in his ways. So the law of the Spirit, his Spirit working inside of us, sets us free from the law of sin and death. No longer are we held to the law of sin and death, meaning that we sin, so now we are under the curse of sin, and we have death, or eternal death. Now let's look at verse 3. For God has done with the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So first thing here, what Paul is saying, for God has done, or Yeshua came and did that which could not be done by the law, meaning the law could not force any person to obey it. The law could not change an individual's heart. The law could not get rid of an old stony heart and replace it with a soft, tender heart, soft to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The law could not do that. The law had no ability to transform people, to cause people to want to walk according to its purpose. Transformation comes by belief in Yeshua and his Spirit being inside of us. By his Spirit, we have the ability to not be conformed unto this world, but be transformed into the image of Yeshua. And to be transformed into the image of Yeshua would be to walk just as he walked, to do as he did, and he walked and obeyed God's commandments, his instructions, the Torah, perfectly. That is what Yeshua did. So that's what we've been called to do, to transform into his image. So we need to learn how to apply his commandments unto our lives so that we can walk in his righteousness. That was the very purpose of why Yeshua came, was to defeat sin so that sin would no longer have power over us. But we could become a slave unto his righteousness, right? That the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled in us. How is a righteous requirement of the law fulfilled in us? That is when we walk according to his word, when we obey his word, when we obey his commandments, his righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us. But in order to do that, we have to be one who is not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So as Paul is laying out here, there is this contention, there is this battle inside of each and every single believer, and that is the battle between our flesh and the battle between the Spirit. The flesh's desire is to walk contrary to the commandments. The Spirit's desire is for us to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law or his Torah. And those two things are at battle inside of each and every single one of us. And if we do not want to see sin master us, the spread inside of us like leprosy, we need to learn to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And let me tell you this, the Spirit is never going to lead you to do anything that is contrary or disobedient to God's law. Let's look at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So where does this battle take place? Where does it start? If you're going to be one who walks according to the Spirit, learning how to master sin in our lives, getting rid of the sin and not allowing it to spread through our bodies like leprosy, what do we have to do? We have to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Well, what are the things of the Spirit? It's his word. It's his commandments, his instructions. His Torah is one of those things that we should set our minds upon. The flesh wants your mind upon the things of the world to be conformed unto the image of the world. So if our minds are consumed with the things of this world, with being conformed unto the world, fitting in with everybody around us, instead of being set upon God's word, his commandments, and his instructions, then we will walk according to the flesh. We will do what our minds are thinking upon. If we're thinking upon that which is fleshly, we will walk in the flesh. If we're thinking upon that which is spiritual, we will walk in the Spirit. Let's look at verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In another scripture, Paul tells us to submit our lives, our bodies, as a living sacrifice unto God. That is our pleasing sacrifice. That is our duty, our job. That is what he desires. And if we want to be that living sacrifice, we cannot have a mind that is set on the flesh, because the mind which is set on the flesh is going to be hostile to God, and it is not going to be a living sacrifice, that which is pleasing unto God. Why? Because it does not submit itself to God's law. to the one who is walking in obedience, that is the one whose life is a living sacrifice, a pleasing living sacrifice unto God. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Messiah does not belong to him. But if Messiah is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So what Paul is saying here is, if you believe in Yeshua, if you really are in Yeshua, in Messiah, his Spirit lives in you. So if his Spirit lives in you, you should be walking in his Spirit and not in the flesh. Now, this is a learning process. We do have to learn and master how to walk in his Spirit. But as we put our belief in him, there's going to be things that we begin to walk in his Spirit that just come naturally because his Spirit is living inside of us. But see, we have a journey. This, our belief is a journey. It's a walk. We have to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. So it is a learning process of learning not to walk according to the flesh, but according to his Spirit. But to those who believe in him, his Spirit is inside of us. His Spirit brings life unto us, life unto his righteousness. So just as our flesh before was awakened by the Torah, by his law, how his law awakened our flesh and caused us to want to rebel against his word, his Spirit does the exact opposite. It awakens his righteousness inside of us and gives us a desire to want to submit unto his word, his instructions, and his Torah. If we are going to be a person who masters sin in our lives, who cuts sin off, who kills sin and does not allow sin to spread through our bodies like leprosy, we have to be a people who are filled with his Spirit and learn how to walk according to his Spirit and allow his Spirit to dwell inside of our hearts and speak to us and lead us and guide us and learn how to hear the voice of his Spirit speaking unto us so that we can walk in his righteousness, so that we can walk in that which is clean. That's the whole thing about the leprosy. It teaches us that we need to know the difference between that which is unclean and that which is clean. And we're going to know that by walking according to his Spirit and learning how to submit unto his Spirit. Well, I hope that this message has blessed you this week. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So we hope that you come back and join us. So come back now and shalom, y'all.